Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. It's the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How's your self-esteem? Mine's really good. Welcome to Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech, and I'm feeling very good about myself. There's a dude walking down the sidewalk here about as tall as me, whose legs, if it were possible, are actually skinnier than mine. Let's see if we can catch up with this young man. Welcome to the program, by the way. Excuse me. Hey, young man, whilst you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for a minute?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
How tall are you, dude? 6'5".
6'5"?
Yeah.
No, you're not, because I'm taller than you, and I'm not 6'5".
Really?
Yeah. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you just did. I'm taller than you. Where are you from, young man?
Venezuela.
There was a bit of an accent, but not much. Tell me, what is the sound they're making up there? Yikes. That's the new student center, right?
No.
No, it's not. What is it?
The undergraduate learning commons.
Got it. So in Venezuela, not that anybody can hear us anyway, what is the major religion there? I presume it's Roman Catholic. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So are you Roman Catholic?
Yeah.
Are you a practicing Roman Catholic?
Not that much.
Not that much. Why not?
I don't know. Usually when we are kids, we practice, and when we grow,
you wander away.
Yeah.
You do what your parents tell you, and then when you become a man...
Yeah, I mean, my parents also, they don't practice, so it's like...
So you don't care. So did you believe any of that stuff when you were growing up about God, the afterlife?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in God, but I just don't go to church.
All right, that's it. So who do you think God is? Describe him or her for me.
I don't know. There are no words to describe God.
Okay, talk to me about the afterlife. Heaven, hell, what do you think there is?
Well, I'm not pretty sure about that. I mean, there may be afterlife. They may not.
Okay, if there is, where do you suppose you'd go?
Heaven?
Of course. I haven't met anybody who's ever said hell. But okay, you think heaven, huh?
Yeah, sure.
How come?
I don't know. I'm a good person.
You think so, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you seem like a friendly enough fellow, but are you really good?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this right.
I'm not bad. I mean...
All right, so let me just check this out a little bit. You're going to stand before God when you die, who opens up the books on your Venezuelan life. He sees everything that you've ever done, right? Everything in darkness, every thought you've ever had, everything you fail to do. Is he going to determine you're a good person? Really?
Yeah.
So do you think that you've been morally pure with your thought life?
Yeah.
You never lust?
Never what?
To see a woman and have sexual desires. That would be to lust.
Yeah, yeah.
You do that?
Yeah, but, I mean, that is in human nature. You cannot avoid that.
Well, no, it could be. That could be human nature, but that's irrelevant. If you do it, that's not being morally pure, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you ever tell lies?
True.
No, that
not
might
that
be human.
Much. Not, I mean, not bad lies that hurt people, but...
Right.
Not
what you do?
Lies. Yeah.
Okay, so that would be another strike against you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's your first name, by the way?
Eduardo.
Eduardo. Okay, so not morally pure, and you use your mouth sometimes to tell lies. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Do you know what that means, to blaspheme God's name?
Yes, I have. I haven't done that.
Never like an OMG?
Never.
Using the name of Jesus, anything like that?
Never.
Okay, good. Have you ever stolen anything?
Nope.
You sure, even as a kid, from your parents?
No.
From a sibling?
Not really.
All right. How's about this one? Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Which is a good thing. Okay, have you ever, though, been angry at somebody driving down the road on a Venezuelan freeway? You think they're an idiot, or you've called them a worse name?
Yeah, okay. It happens.
Oh, I know it happens, right. Okay, because Jesus said you don't have to commit murder, but when you are just angry at somebody, the Bible says that that's just like murder of the heart, because it's what's going on in your heart and in your head. Now, obviously, to physically murder somebody is worse,
But the point is, God judges really deep and purity of thoughts and words and deeds. So do you think that God has always been first in your life, Eduardo? That he's been number one priority for you?
Not always. Definitely not.
All right. So, dude, the Bible says that you should examine yourself. Not me. I'm not your examiner. You should examine yourself to see if you are in the truth. Because sometimes we can be self-deceived. We can be going through life thinking one thing, but then truth gets revealed to us, and we have to correct our thinking. So do you think, really, if God examined you on the day of judgment, that he's going to agree with you and say, yep, Eduardo has been perfectly good?
Not perfect, but good enough, I think. Nobody's perfect.
I agree with you. Nobody's perfect, but that doesn't mean that God should give a pass to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So if God judged you on the standard, what I was taking you through is the Ten Commandments, by the way. I don't know if you recognize that, but I was taking you through the Ten Commandments, God's standard for perfection. If he judged you based on that standard, not your standard, not my standard, but God's standard, Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty, Eduardo?
I don't know, maybe guilty.
Well, if you've lied and lusted and been angry and God hasn't been first and you've been an idolater, then you'd definitely be guilty, wouldn't you?
Yep.
I would be definitely guilty. So if you're definitely guilty and God is good and he's just, Eduardo, what do you think God should do with you? Take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I don't believe that much that either we're going to heaven or hell, so...
Right.
I don't.
I understand. But if he judged you based on that standard and you were guilty, where would you go?
Maybe hell, but I mean, if I have to be someone I am not just to go to heaven, I'd rather be myself and go to hell, so...
Yeah, well, you are being yourself. I understand that. But the consequences for being yourself would be that you're going to hell, right?
Probably not. Yeah.
Why would God give you a pass? Why would God say, even though you've broken my laws, Eduardo, I'm going to let you into heaven? Why would he do that?
I don't know. He's merciful.
But if he just showed you mercy, he'd be corrupt at the same time. Because it's like a judge who lets a guilty criminal go. He might be nice, but he's not just anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, what if somebody paid your fine? Let's say that you had a fine, a debt against God, and somebody paid it for you. Then, could God take you to heaven if somebody made up for all the sins that you've committed? Then you could go to heaven, couldn't you?
I guess not. I mean, it doesn't work like that, I think.
Well, if you were standing in a courtroom and you owed the judge $1 million...
Well, if you're talking about Jesus, okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm hitting at. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if Jesus paid your fine, then you could go to heaven. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. You've broken the law and Jesus paid your fine for you. Now that would be exceedingly good news, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You're guilty, but Jesus kept all the laws and all the commandments, was beaten on your behalf so that you could have your fine paid and you could have your sins forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel, right? Yep. So you, a guilty criminal, can be set free by God himself because of his goodness. Now that's pretty good news, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. If it is true.
If it is true, you are correct. Yeah, so maybe we part company with that thought. If it is true, right now, Eduardo, it sounds like you'd be going to hell, right?
Yeah.
But if it's true, God's also willing to forgive you. If you repent. Do you know what that word means? Do you remember?
Sure.
What does it mean?
To feel bad for what you did.
Part of it, right? But if I punched you in the nose and felt bad and punched you in the nose again, that's not repentance, right?
Yeah, I mean, not doing it again.
Yeah, turning from your sins, and you put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says when you do that, God actually will change you from the inside out, and he'll forgive you, and he'll grant you everlasting life based on what Jesus did on your behalf, if it's true, right? So, dude, I know you're here. You're out of the country,
yep.
And you're learning lots of stuff. How old are you, about 21?
26.
26?
Yeah.
You're an old man. So you're 26 years old, and you're probably thinking about stuff like this, at least a little bit, trying to figure out what's true, what is right. Okay, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every other religion is wrong, he said, but Jesus. You should figure out if that's true. Okay?
All right.
I'm going to walk away from you. You're never going to see me again, most likely. I'm a complete stranger. But basically what I've been saying, you've maybe heard some of these things before. Okay?
All right.
So ponder it as if your eternity depended on it. Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his very soul? So you go to school, you get become an engineer, whatever it is that you're doing here, and you get all rich, and you buy a big house, and you have a wife and kids, but you die and go to hell, means nothing all of a sudden.
Right?
So think about your soul, and think about your eternity. Listen to your conscience, and if it troubles you that you're in big trouble, if you agree with God that you're not a good person, you're a bad person who can be forgiven by a good God, repent and put your trust in Him. Don't take my word for it. You can find a Bible, right?
Sure.
Read it.
All right.
See if what I'm saying is true. Try the Gospel of John on for size.
All right.
Hey, nice young man, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Goodbye. I wish you could have seen Eduardo. Kind of squirming, kind of wiggling as well. He should have. Because hopefully his conscience was doing a work. And what a sad thing, too. Here's another young man who went to church. Never, I'm certain, heard the good news put like that. I'd bet the farm, if I had one, that he never heard the good news like that. We're at Georgia Tech. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
I wonder what Dr. John MacArthur is talking about.
If you're going to support mission training, training of pastors, you've got to find people who are training men biblically to be theologians, to be Bible expositors, to be shepherds of their flock, to pour their lives into their sheep. This is the biblical pattern.
Going to go out on a limb here and suggest Dr. John MacArthur is talking about one of his ministries, the Masters Academy International. Seminary graduates from the Master's Sem internationally training pastors to be expositors, upholding the inerrancy of the Bible. If you've been looking for a missionary opportunity that has ripples of impact, you cannot do better than the Master's Academy International. Please learn more and potentially consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
You've no doubt heard about this subliminal advertising nonsense before. You know, commercials that are supposed to have hidden messages in them. Well,
become a Wretched Gospel partner.
Wretched firmly denies any use of this so-called mind control.
Become a Wretched Gospel partner.
After all, Wretched is entertaining and charming enough.
Go to wretched.org/donate.
I mean, what's not to love about helping to reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel?
You're getting excited.
A ministry that's ECFA approved. So you know your donation is going to wise things.
That's getting your attention.
In fact, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry.
Take out your wallet.
So let's go ahead and put this subliminal advertising nonsense to rest. Nobody can do your thinking for you.
Become a Wretched Gospel partner.
You either want to become a Wretched Gospel partner.
You do.
Or you don't.
Yes, you do.
Wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to 44321.
The voices that you are hearing are the children of a Tomorrow Club in Ukraine. How would you like to hear Romanian children singing this song? Tomorrow Clubs are opening up the doors in Romania. Need some help. Startup costs, printing costs. If you would like to help the Tomorrow Clubs burst into Romania with the gospel through the Tomorrow Clubs, visit tomorrowclubs.org. And if you'd like to sponsor a Romanian Tomorrow Club, now is the time. Priceless. For so little, the gospel can be heard by so many. Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. Okay, there's another dude in pajamas. What's up with this? Is it pajama day here? Hey, dude, is it pajama day here or something?
I really have no idea.
I'm seeing people walk around here in pajamas. Is it some like kooky pajama day?
I don't know.
Well, I would like to thank you for actually wearing pants. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Are you going to school here?
Yes.
Will you talk to me on the radio for a minute?
Sure.
What are you studying?
I'm computational media.
I have no idea what that means, dude.
It's a lot like computer science, but with arts.
Do you think, I'm going to set you up for something, okay? Because you might smell this one coming. I'm going to set you up, so I'm giving you fair warning. That work to design a program in order to make it work, do you think that a program like that could happen all by itself?
No, actually.
Let's say that there are billions of years. Do you think that that could program itself?
Not without some type of human to program a program
Do you believe in evolution or creation? See how I set you up there?
Yeah, I see that.
All right. What do you believe in?
Evolution, definitely.
Evolution, the concept that nothing designed, all this intricate design stuff?
Yeah.
But you just said that it takes a designer.
Yeah.
But not for you?
No.
What's the difference?
Because programs cannot be randomly generated.
I agree. Neither can you. So wouldn't you be created too?
No. There's actually a lot of evidence that goes against the designer aspect of whatever we're actually talking about.
Well, we'll hold on to that for a second, but I thought I just logicked you. I thought I just gave you a reason, which an evolutionist should be fond of, right?
Yeah.
So let me suggest that. What's your first name? You're a nice guy. What's your first name?
I'm Joey.
Joey, nice to meet you. Now, Joey, I'm just guessing. There must be a different reason for your desire to believe in evolution. Because you and I are like this close, and yet we part. I believe in God. You believe in, I presume, no God?
Yes.
Okay. So how come you suppose we're looking at the same evidence, we're logicking through it, we seem to be going to the same conclusion, and then you go, whoop-de-doo, nothing designed it, nobody made anything, and I say, well, wait a second, if we're going to be consistent, somebody had to design it, somebody had to make this stuff. What do you suppose it is that causes you to lean toward evolution rather than God creating the world?
Because programs don't really create themselves. They cannot think like we would. Like, programs don't exist in a natural world.
Yeah, right, exactly. Same thing with you, dude. You had to be made. You don't just, like, abstractly come out of nowhere. Somebody had to go, I'm going to make something, and I'm going to make it look like that.
Yeah, and that was my mom and my dad.
All right, and let's just screw with a little infinite regress here. Somebody had to come up with the whole idea and design it and make it all work. All right, so when...
I think it was more of a trial and error process.
Did you go to church as a kid?
A couple times, actually, yes.
A couple of times. All right, I'm gonna lay this one out. Don't take a poke at me, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you why the Bible says you believe what you believe, okay?
Okay.
All right. You believe the idea of evolution because you perceive that it accounts for no God, that God wasn't needed for any of this. Therefore, I have no God. I'm accountable to no one. And there are no rules that I need to adhere to. Therefore, I can do whatever I want to. I believe Immanuel Kant said something very similar to that. The idea is no God, no rules. If Joey can figure out a way to suppress what is pretty obvious, you got a design, there's a designer, the creation is screaming at you that God exists.
Yeah.
You can suppress that truth so you can live in unrighteousness. There you go.
I don't really agree with that, actually.
Why not?
Because Following your model there, I wouldn't have any type of morality, no sense of social interaction or anything like that. And, I mean, just through interactions with people, non-religious, religious, whatever, I mean, I obviously have some type of sense of what I should be doing with my life.
I agree,
right?
And I think it's called a conscience.
I mean, that's why I'm here, going to college, right?
Yep. And I also think, though, that if you could, though, if you had your druthers... There's a lot of things you would probably be inclined to do if there was no threat of punishment or being ashamed in front of society. That what's going on now? On the outside, you're a pretty cleaned up cup, but on the inside, I'm guessing inside of your heart, there's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in humanity, and I believe in being together and whatnot, and living together and not wronging people by any means, but I don't think that's implanted by any type of higher being or anything like that.
You ready for this? I'm going to try to convert you right now, okay?
All right.
Ready? Here we go.
Try your hardest.
I'm even going to tell you my strategy. I'm going to go around that big intellect of yours, okay? All the smart stuff that you got going on with the computation and the things that you do with the program and the stuff.
Right.
I'm going right around that, and I'm going to try to get to your conscience. Might be a little dead right now, but I'm going to try to put some paddles on it to give it a little jolt, okay? I'm going to dig inside of your heart, all right? Joey, how many times have you told a lie?
Many times.
Okay, so if I told many lies, what name would you give to me? What would you call me?
I don't know your name, actually.
Rhymes with pants on fire. My name is Todd.
Okay.
But you'd say, Todd, you're a liar, liar, your pants are on fire, because you tell lots of lies, right?
Right.
So you would be a...
I would be a person
who is lies. A liar, right? All right. How many things have you stolen in your life, Joey?
Very few things, and that was adolescence.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though.
Yeah.
All right? Doesn't matter even the quality or the price of the object. God's looking at your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's steal. He's not impressed if it's $1 million or 1 million toothpicks. This doesn't matter to God. It's your heart. So you've stolen. That would make you a...
thief.
Rock on. Lust. Purity of heart.
Right.
Lusting at women.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So God knows that too. Have you ever blasphemed God's name?
Yes.
So you've done that. All right. Here's the deal. You will die one day.
Mm-hmm.
God will not just call your number. He's going to kill you, because that's how you die, because right now he's sustaining your life.
Sure.
He's giving you air. He's letting everything flow through your body and work. He's going to make that stop. You will die. You'll stand before him. He opens up the books on Joey's life.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, will you be innocent or guilty before God?
Well, if God is a forgiving God, I don't think it would matter, actually.
Innocent or guilty?
I don't believe in ultimatums.
Innocent.
I always believe everything is in the gray.
Well, I don't know that you can get away with that in court. If they've got all
this
the evidence.
This is in court. Well, you're
sure
talking about God.
The just judge of all the world, who will judge all people according to what they have done.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have such a sense of justice. And we like it when criminals get punished, because it's bad.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but most of us like justice. We like to see the rapist get punished. We like the murderer who hurt the old grandmother to get what he has coming to him, and so does God.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to go so much deeper. He's going to get liars and thieves and blasphemers and adulterers and idolaters, those who covet and desire things they're not grateful. He's going to get it all.
Right.
Innocent or guilty?
I'm still not going to answer that.
Okay. Well, if you're like the rest of us...
If God wants to do innocent or guilty, he can choose for himself.
He will, but this is a wise man, though, thinks this through.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Justice? What, have I upheld justice? Have I been perfectly just? And the answer is no, you haven't been. I haven't been. Nobody's been. We'd all be guilty, and we'd all deserve hell.
Mm-hmm.
That would be right for God to do that to us. That would be just for him to do that. Right?
Yeah, in your terms, exactly.
All right, God's terms.
Right.
Doesn't matter what my terms are. God's terms. And your conscience right now should be going, those terms are right. That resonates. I've done wrong. I know it. And I know that I deserve to be taken to task for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get your conscience going, Joey. I'm trying to alarm you and awaken
you. Oh, it's
right
going.
Now. All right. Now, what was that thing that you'd mentioned about forgiveness?
What about it?
You said that God is forgiving.
What was
that about?
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, according to the Bible, right?
You're right. Yes, he is.
So why would he send all these people to hell? Why not give them another shot? If Jesus died for our sins and we never sin, Jesus died for nothing.
Well, close, right? God so loved the world, he gave
his only
begotten.
Well, that's some logic right there, isn't it? Aren't you a man of logic? Weren't you
trying to
logic me here?
All right, I'll try to. Okay, God has given a million chances to you already. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you believe in rebirth?
Not in the same way you're thinking right now. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking spiritually, and you're maybe thinking physically or reincarnation.
Yeah.
Okay? God has spoken to you every single day through the creation. The Bible says God created the world, and day after day it speaks to you. Joey, I made this place. Wake up, man. Wake up. I made it. I'm your maker, and you haven't listened. He's been preaching to you every single time you've taken a step or a breath.
Right.
So he's given you a million chances already, and he's given you a conscience for you to listen to it and go, okay, there's a creator. I've got a conscience. This is not looking good for me. I better figure out who that creator is so that I can be made right with that creator. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble. So he's preached to all of us a bazillion times. We just don't like to listen because the place that it leads is scary. The idea of meeting God, who is just and a consuming fire, that's a scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have I done anything for your conscience today?
Not necessarily.
Where are you walking right now?
To go grab some lunch over there.
All right. Will you let me do a commercial and we can wrap this up in just a few minutes? You know how this works. Because remember, I'm a Christian and we're about making money, so we got to sell the commercials so I can drive a fancy car and have a diamond ring.
All right, let me cut the commercial.
I'll walk with you, though, dude. It'll only take a minute. Just hang in there. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, emails recently obtained by a conservative government watchdog group has shed some more light on how the federal government has spent thousands of dollars, that's taxpayer money, on fetal tissue, which has been derived from aborted babies, to create humanized mice. Over 575 pages of emails. That's how much was obtained, showing dialogue between the FDA and the California-based Advanced Bioscience Resources, and it's all related to fetal tissue procurement. As a matter of fact, several of the emails were exchanges between the ABR's Perrin Lartin and FDA official Dr. Christina Howard, where Howard repeatedly requested fetal liver and thymic tissue from Lartin. According to lawmakers, the ABR plainly admitted to Congress that it obtained tissue by collecting human fetal remains from abortion clinics and paying $60 per single aborted fetus, and then upselling the child's body parts separately to researchers at fees of $325 per specimen. In early 2020, the Trump administration assembled the National Institutes of Health Human Fetal Tissue Research Ethics Advisory Board. That's a mouthful, but they were tasked with researching the use of aborted baby body parts in scientific research and determining whether it was ethical. This month, however, the NIH disbanded that independent advisory board established under the Trump administration. And who saw that coming? Everybody. Well, a pastor from Washington, D.C. is facing federal charges after he fraudulently obtained $1.5 million in Paycheck Protection Program funds, which he spent on personal expenses, including 39 cars. Rudolph Brooks Jr. is the founder and senior pastor of the Kingdom Tabernacle of Restoration Ministries in Washington, D.C. He was arrested earlier this month and is now facing 20 years in prison. Federal authorities have seized $2.2 million that Brooks deposited in various bank accounts, as well as a 2018 Tesla Model 3. According to Brooks' church's website, he's described as, quote, a man after God's own heart and has a passion for God's people, especially their wallets. And finally, over the weekend, Planned Parenthood President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson issued an apology in the New York Times in light of the organization's founder, Margaret Sanger, and her alleged racist past. Following Johnson's article, though, leaders from pro-life groups criticized the Planned Parenthood President's attempt to apologize for Sanger's past while continuing to push for abortions. Benjamin Watson, a former NFL star and the current vice president of Human Coalition, argued that Planned Parenthood's denunciation of Margaret Sanger rings hollow. And Reverend Dean Nelson, who's the executive director of Human Coalition Action, noted that nearly 80% of Planned Parenthood's facilities are located within walking distance of minority neighborhoods. Now imagine that. There's actually people out there who think Planned Parenthood could somehow be disingenuous about something. Go figure. Well, more Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Make this snappy. Joey's in a hurry. Joey, I'm going to give this to you really quick, okay? All right. hopefully we just concluded you're a bad guy like the rest of us.
Right.
You deserve God's wrath. But you mentioned something about forgiveness and Jesus dying for sinners.
Right.
You're right. God is just, and he'll give you what you deserve. But he's kind, and he's merciful, and he wants to save you. But in order to uphold justice, there has to be somebody to pay your fine. Because if he just forgives you without a fine payer, he's no longer just. So that God can be just, and the justifier of those who believe, he sent his son, born of a virgin, to live under the law, to keep all the laws you've broken, to be brutally beaten, to die on a cross for you, Joey, so that your sins could be put on him and his goodness could be credited to your account.
Right.
That's the good news of the gospel.
Okay.
You can die and go to heaven, not because of your goodness. You can die and not go to hell because of your badness, because Jesus took your badness and provides you with goodness so that you can go to heaven and be with God, so that Jesus can get all the credit for saving a rotten guy like you and me.
Right.
That's the good news of the gospel.
All right.
Now, here's what you got to do in response to that. Not just go, that's nice, it works for the tall, skinny guy, that's his truth, it's truth. And you should respond not in fear of hell, but because God is so willing to save you from hell, and that's amazing kindness, you need to repent and put your trust in him.
Okay.
So you're sorry, turn from your sins, put your trust in his son, and then, Joey, you'll go to heaven because of Jesus.
All right.
And your conscience will be cleansed, your sins will be forgiven. Okay?
Right.
You've been patient, it's been a delight talking to you, and I mean it.
All right, thanks.
All right. Goodbye. We are at Georgia Tech, and I got to tell you one quick thing about Joey. I don't know if you heard the earlier part where I said I'm trying to wake up your conscience, and he said, well, you have, and as best I can tell. But if I were reading that body language, right, his lip was quivering. Sometimes that can happen when people are nervous because there's a microphone in their face. That could be one of the reasons. Have to admit that. Or it could be that he was just getting startled, and I've seen that plenty of times too. Best I could tell, based on the visual cue, I gave him the gospel. Even though his mouth said, I don't care, his physiology, I think that's the right word, said, I do care. And so I gave him the gospel. So you got to watch for those things too, because we should desire to give the good news of the gospel. We're at Georgia Tech, and I'm telling you, I don't want to see any more pajamas. All right, let's see. Let me ask this dude what's going on here, although he's listening to his headphones. Excuse me. Hey, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Sure.
Is it pajama day here at Georgia Tech?
I have no idea. I've been seeing people without shoes on all day too.
All right. So what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Mechanical engineering.
You want to be a mechanical engineer?
Yes.
You go to the office, it's 9 o'clock, you punch in the card, and what do you do for the next 8 hours?
I hope to, how do I say this, work on engines for traveling, I guess, more or less out of the Earth.
So space stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think there's life out there?
There's a chance. I mean,
how big's the chance?
I mean, the universe is pretty big, so I'd say it's better than 50% chance that there's
no
life. Definitely
there is not. What evidence do we have that there's any life out there right now at all? Zero
that we have.
Yeah, right. But just because there's a lot of space out there, you take zero times a bazillion and you still get
zero.
Okay,
but then again, you could also say that how come only one planet out of
all of them, billions and billions,
I mean, a really big number, can only contain one form of life.
Well, I have an idea about that.
What is that?
I think God made this planet.
True.
And made you and me and everything on it.
That is very true.
So there you go.
If you go with that way, yes. But keeping an open mind as a scientist, because of course you're at Georgia Tech, so
yes, you have to do that.
Yes, you have to keep
otherwise
an open
you
mind
fail
about everything. So
what religion are you, young man?
I'm Catholic.
Tell me, as a Catholic, why should I become a Catholic? Sell me. I want to sign up for the Catholic Club.
That is
difficult.
Give
me a good reason.
That is very difficult. Actually, I don't really have a really good reason. I mean, I personally, I don't really follow it too much, but I do follow along as in religion, mostly, as in Christianity, I guess, is more of my broad. I was raised Catholic, but I believe in just Christianity, mostly.
All right. Let me try this and see what you think of this, all right? Going back to God making this world.
Yeah.
We need to ask ourselves the question, why did God make this world? All right?
All right.
What was the point? Why did he do this?
Boredom, maybe?
How's about this? God has attributes that require an object to demonstrate those attributes. For instance, God is love. but as a Christian, you would say that he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he can love himself.
Yeah.
And demonstrate that attribute and enjoy himself. But he has other attributes that are relational. Mercy, grace, loving kindness. And he doesn't need to show those attributes to himself because he does not need mercy, grace, or loving kindness. So those attributes that he possesses cannot be put on display unless there is an object of mercy, grace, and loving kindness. So I believe that God created the world, put a couple of people in a garden. They disobeyed, throwing the whole world into sin, including you and me. We're bad people. We're not good. And we are in such desperate trouble because we've broken all of God's laws that we deserve his wrath, that unless he shows us mercy, grace, and loving kindness, we will perish. And so it is. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for sinners like you and me, so that if we will respond rightly in repentance and faith, God will show us mercy, grace, and loving kindness, forgive all of our sins, and grant us everlasting life. And that way, for all of eternity, he could point to a guy like you or me as an example of how kind and good he is. That's why God created the world.
It's a very good way of thinking about it. I like that.
So let me ask you a question, young man. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Depends, really, on the topic.
All right. How's it about compared to the topic of the Ten Commandments?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
You've lied?
Yes, I have.
Stolen?
No.
Ever?
Never.
Even as a child, downloading music, late for work?
Oh, I guess downloading music, yes.
Right.
I've done that.
All right.
As far as actually picking up with my hands...
Doesn't matter, because it's a heart issue.
Not so much, yeah.
Yeah, God's not impressed if you steal this Escape Hybrid or this old Lincoln here.
Yeah.
It's about your heart, not the value of the object. Have you lusted?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever blasphemed God's name?
Out of anger, probably once or twice.
Okay.
But then I said sorry after.
All right. But you've done that.
Yes,
You've taken
that.
God's precious name and dragged it through the mud.
Yes.
And that's why he says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So the topic, the situation was the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You've broken at least four of the ten that we just went through.
Yes.
All right. I just asked you before if you thought you were a good person, and you said pretty good. But a person who lies and lusts and blasphemes and steals really isn't a good person, is he?
Well, that is true, but if you take into every person on the earth, there's not one person on this earth right now that has not done that.
You have just quoted a Bible verse.
There you go.
There is nobody who does good, no, not one. You're right.
Yeah.
We're all sinners. We're all bad.
Yeah.
That's why he made us, so that he could rescue us.
Yeah.
But making sure that you are his child starts with understanding that as an unregenerate sinner, you're not his child. You're a rebel at heart. I think salvation, true salvation, if you've ever wondered about this, what does it really mean to be a Christian? I think it starts with a correct understanding of who God is and who we are, and that we're not good people at all. We're really, to the core, quite wicked and quite rebellious.
That's true.
And until we start there, for a lot of people, Christianity is kind of something that they try or play with because they think it's the right thing to do. They grew up that way.
Yeah.
Society demands that they want their kids to behave. But that's not what God is looking for. He wants to rescue sinners. Jesus said he didn't come to heal those who thought they were well, but those who understand that they're sick. Dude, I don't know where you're at with your personal salvation.
Yeah.
But I would challenge you today to examine yourself and see if you're in the truth. Okay?
Okay.
And it starts with really look carefully at your heart. I mean, think about, dude, the lusting alone, or whether it's been pornography, or fornication, or stealing, or coveting, or rebellion to your parents. We don't thank them for food, or shoes, or for a college education. And let those things start to weigh on you till you realize, I have been such a rebel, and God died for me anyway, and it should break your heart. And it should cause you to come to him in humility to say, God, I'm sorry. I have been all wrong about this. Please forgive me. You turn from your sins. It doesn't mean you become perfect. I'm not saying that. But you have a new attitude about sins. And you put your trust in Jesus. Just like you'd put your trust in a parachute. And God says when you come to him like a little child, not thinking you're good, not thinking you're earning it, but crying out for mercy because you understand that he is good, that's when he says, I'll save you, I'll rescue you, and then I'm going to point to you for the rest of eternity and say, I saved that guy. That's how good I am, so that God can get all the credit.
Okay.
All right, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're in a right relationship with God or not. It's not my place to judge. But you know, right?
Okay.
And if you have never died to yourself, see if you're in the truth. And understand that God is willing to rescue you and save you if you will come to him in humility and repentance and faith. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, young man. It was a pleasure meeting you.
You too.
Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. This is Wretched Radio.
844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE. You say, Friel, usually the phone number goes at the end of a commercial. I'm putting it at the beginning because I would like to strongly encourage you to call 844-34-BIBLE. A very nice person, representative at MediShare, will answer your call and share with you what might be an alternative to your traditional health insurance that's driving you bonkers right now. The average family saves, give or take, $500 per month. Right now, waiving the initiation fee, an additional $170. Within 2 minutes, they will tell you what you will be saving every month by signing up with MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and yes, even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. First, you can send us an email at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail, 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like this recent email we received from Jelena, who says, I love listening to Wretched every day. It has been integral in my sanctification and growing closer in my knowing, understanding, loving, and resting in the Lord. So send us those Wretched stories. Send us those questions, those comments, those conundrums, and even those snarks. Again, idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a statistic from Dan Steiner from preborn.org/wretched.
Last year, we counseled over 29,000 women and over 7,900 babies were saved last year.
I love that statistic. I suspect you do too. Would you like to see those numbers go up? All it takes is a whole lot of effort from Preborn and our support. $28 will purchase an ultrasound for a woman who believes she's having a crisis. She sees the ultrasound and she recognizes she's actually having a baby and she keeps her child. How many ultrasounds could you support? Maybe every single month. Please note, 100% of your gifts to Preborn go directly to the centers, directly to ultrasounds. It's an amazing statistic. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio here at Georgia Tech with a dude who's kind of got a funky hat on, who's about ready to eat a piece of pizza. Hey, dude. Oh, I hate to do that to you while you're eating a piece of pizza, man. I'm very sorry. I'm like a bad waiter. Could I ask you a question on the radio while you're eating?
Sure.
Cool. Where are you from?
Roswell.
Right here in Georgia?
Yes.
All right. I just was wondering, if you're from Roswell, Georgia, this is a part of the Bible Belt, right? Mm-hmm. Do you happen to be a part of that Bible Belt community? Are you a Bible Belter yourself?
Not really.
You're not? It's pretty unusual. Most people around here tend to lean toward that, being Christian types. You're not one of those?
No, I wouldn't consider myself, no.
No? How come?
I don't know. I like to sleep in on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a better option than going to church, huh? Did you go to church as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah? What did they teach you?
It's just like a set of morals that I don't, like, I don't disagree with them. Like, I don't have a problem with, like, Christians in general. It's just something.
You don't like the rules?
I don't mind the rules. I just think they can be inconvenient.
I agree with that. Did they ever teach you more than rules? Was that it? Just do this, don't do that? That was it?
I mean, there's a lot of stories, too.
Right. Noah and the Ark, Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. Jesus, those stories. What was the point of all of that? Did they ever get around to telling you that?
I think it's like basis for their rules.
Hmm.
Do this because of, like, this happened with these people a while ago and stuff like that.
All right. All right, I'm going to do this quick because you're being kind to talk to me. You're putting up with me and you're eating your pizza. Let me just share an alternative to that, and you can do with it as you see fit, okay?
All right.
Here's why the rules were given. So that you could see yourself the way that God sees you. Pretty radical thought. Ryan, how old are you?
21.
21, all right. Because you and I have a tendency to look at people and compare ourselves to people that we see on the news, and we console ourselves by saying, well, I'm not as bad as that rapist. I'm doing pretty good. But God gave rules so that you could see yourself the way He sees you with His standard. So when He said, don't tell lies, He did that so that every time you told a lie, you could realize, wow, I'm in trouble here. Have you told a lot of lies in your life?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay. I have. Have you stolen anything in your life?
Yeah.
All right. I have done that too. Have you ever lusted, looked at a woman, had sexual thoughts, desires that you shouldn't have?
I guess.
Okay, because that's that dreaded, you shouldn't commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And there's nobody breathing who hasn't done that.
Yeah.
Okay?
So what's the point?
Well, so the point is, good question, is that those rules should start to cause you to go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. I haven't kept the rules. Just like if you didn't keep the rules here at Georgia Tech, or if you didn't keep the rules in Roswell, you'd be arrested, you'd be in trouble, you'd be punished for breaking the rules. And if you have broken God's rules, you start to get the sense, I'm going to get punished. That was the purpose of the rules. Not so that you'd keep them so that you could think you're a good person, but so that every time you failed them, you would understand you're a bad person.
But they're impossible rules, so why even play the game?
That's exactly why God did it that way, because it is impossible for us to keep the rules, because what Christianity is all about isn't just knowing the ark and the flood and those stories. It's telling a story of God desiring to redeem humanity. Because you and I haven't kept the laws. We need somebody to keep the laws on our behalf. We need somebody to take the punishment that we deserve from God so that God can forgive our sins and rescue us from what we deserve from Him. That's what Christianity is about. Christianity is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus kept all the laws that you and I have broken, that Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve so that God could forgive us. Because if God just forgave a guy like you without there being a payment for your crimes, then He wouldn't be just. But He's just, and the justifier of those who believe. So justice was satisfied when Jesus died for you, a sinner, so that when you stand before God, even though you've racked up a heap of debt, Jesus paid the fine for you on your behalf. And the reason the rules were given was to drive you to the point where you look to God to say, I don't do good. I need you to help me. I need you to save me. That's the point of the Ten Commandments. That's the point of the rules, to help you to understand that you're a sinner in need of saving. and to ask God to have mercy on you, and he will because of what Jesus did. That's the gospel.
All right, so if no matter what I do, it's already, like, paid for, and if I, like, recognize forgiveness and stuff like that, then why wouldn't I just do whatever I want whenever I want and then just ask for forgiveness at the end of the day?
You would only do that if you don't esteem the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. It would be like a kid who goes out fishing with his dad at a big lake, and dad says, "Son, I'm going to take you fishing. But here's the deal. I don't want you to go in the boat all by yourself because there's alligators out in those waters, and I don't want you to get in trouble." The kid says, "Okay." But a couple of days of camping go by. Dad's taking a nap in the tent, and the kid thinks, "Ooh, I'd like to go out there. That sure looks exciting." So he gets into the boat all by himself. He finds himself floundering around. All of a sudden, an alligator hits his boat with his tail, knocks the boat over. The kid finds himself in alligator-infested water. And they're coming at him, and he's screaming for help, passes out. The next thing he knows, he wakes up on the sand on the beach. He rolls his head, and he looks around, and he sees across the beach his dad ripped to shreds. And he concludes, "Uh-oh, I disobeyed. I was getting what I deserved. Dad must have jumped in the water, rescued me, and he got torn up on my behalf." Now imagine if that kid said, "Huh, I think I'm going to go back out in the boat now and play around again." He'd say, "That kid's nuts." If you understand that Jesus Christ died for you, a sinner, you wouldn't ever want to go do the things that caused him to be crucified on your behalf. It would demonstrate that you're ungrateful and you don't understand the sacrifice that he made for you. But when we esteem the sacrifice, when we understand the kindness that was demonstrated to us, then we don't want to sin anymore. We have new desires and new affections that God gives to us. That's why we wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Do you believe in evolution?
No.
Why not?
Because I think God made you.
Like?
And designed you. Here's why I think God made the world, okay? God didn't evolve it, he made it. Because he had a plan. Before eternity began, the plan was to make human beings fully formed the way they were, Adam and Eve style, knowing that we'd sin. Knowing that we would rebel against him so that he could send his son to rescue us. God's whole plan is to glorify himself by saving a sinner like you. He made the world so that Jesus could die for you, so that you could be forgiven, so that everyone will point to God for all of eternity and say, "God is so amazingly kind. He saved a sinful, wretched man like the kid from Roswell." Here's the question for you, dude, as we part company, okay?
All right.
How old are you?
21.
21. So you're kind of thinking some of these thoughts, maybe a little, maybe thinking I'll deal with them when I get out of here and get married. I'm encouraging you to think about them now. As you sit here right now, the Bible says the wrath of God abides upon you. You have been heaping up debt with God by sinning, by being ungrateful, by blaspheming his name, by being an idolater, by lusting, maybe doing other sins that are none of my business. And you've piled up wrath. And every day you live, it's like your cup is being filled up with the wrath of God. And someday, he will have enough of you. And he will grow weary of keeping you alive, and he will end your life, and he will give you what you deserve, and he will pour out his wrath on you. And that's a scary thing to ponder.
Yeah.
But the good news is,
everyone's in hot water, though.
I agree, you're right. And that's why he sent his son to rescue us. He took the hot water so that we could live. That's the point of the gospel. And just so you know this, too, please know this. I've been talking about hell and that you're going if you don't repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. But you shouldn't repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ because you're afraid of hell, but because he has been so kind to save you from hell. He died to rescue you. He knew you would sin against him, and he died for you anyway. That's kindness. That's goodness. That's amazing grace. And it should be that goodness that leads you to go, "God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." To turn from your sins and put your trust in his son because of his goodness so that you can actually be in a right relationship with God. That's what you should ponder.
Yeah.
All right? Food for thought today?
Pizza Hut.
That's it. Nothing. I haven't made any impact. Nothing.
I mean, it's not news. Like, that's not the first time I've heard that, and it probably won't be the last, because I'm sure you probably make rounds or something like that.
Sure.
And so I've already thought about a lot of this stuff, like I'm sure you can tell. And so, I mean, you just got to take it as it comes.
Right. Just don't die until it comes.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'll try not to.
Young man, thanks for the chat. All right? Goodbye.
Have a good one.
All right, see ya. Until tomorrow. Go serve your king.